Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Valerie Smaldone. Photographer Richard Phibbs is well known for his fashion and ad campaigns for icons like Giorgio Armani, Ralph Lauren, and Calvin Klein. His work has appeared in numerous publications, including Vanity Fair and Vogue, and his prints have been collected by Bill Clinton and other celebrities. Richard is also actively involved with Pet Rescue and has been donating his services to the Humane Society of New York for the past 4 years, photographing dogs up for adoption. And now a collection of his photos are featured in a new book, Rescue Me. Each story of each dog is next to the beautiful photographs. It is a lovely, lovely collaboration. Richard, welcome to America Weekend.
Hi, Valerie. Good to hear you. Hi.
Hi. You must be a dog lover.
I am a dog lover. I'm not only a dog lover, I'm an animal lover. Love all animals. And it is, photography is my passion. And I've always craving to take a picture that does something. You know, photography can speak the truth. And I think when I do these portraits of these homeless animals, I think we're revealing the truth.
They are so beautiful. And I want to get to the actual photos in a moment. But tell me how you got involved with this particular organization.
The Humane Society of New York, I had always known about. Now, we have to be clear. The word Humane Society is used for a lot of these organizations. But there's the Humane Society of the United States, which is the big, massive organization that deals with a lot of laws and things like that. And then there's the Humane Society of New York, which is really sort of a grassroots organization. And it was formed in the early 1900s to care for the carriage horses, where there was a lot of carriage horse abuse. So that's how it was founded. And it has since turned into this sort of epicenter of animal love and care. Every couple years, they do a benefit where they ask fashion photographers throughout, you know, the city to donate a piece. And they had come to me and asked if I would donate, and I did. And then I've since become friends. And then I had seen a photographer on Charles Good Sunday morning show. Mm-hmm. And there was a photographer named Teresa Berg who was taking pictures of dachshunds that were at a rescue, like a dachshund rescue sort of foundation. And she was putting little bows on them and taking pictures of them and trying to shine them up. And she had said, if every photographer would do this in their town, we would certainly have a lot less suffering. So that sort of piqued my interest, and I approached the Humane Society. And 4 years later and 350 animals later, I've photographed a large group of these animals, and it ended up being so incredibly successful. It just kind of snowballed this whole idea.
Well, I think people attach onto the visual concept of the animal, and you have been taking photographs, as you mentioned, for a long time of these dogs. Each of them have a very specific story. And what struck me, Richard, is that they look like human headshots. You know, when you go to a headshot photographer, they're sort of straight right. on, very honest.
Right.
How did you get these dogs to kind of wait for you and pose for you in that manner?
Right. Well, I mean, really what I'm doing is portraiture. So there's no real difference in doing portraiture if I'm doing that of an actor, an athlete, a politician, or anybody, or an animal. I mean, you're trying to, you know, grab the essence of that living being. So just as I have a process to take a picture of a human, there's a similar process that goes into that of the animal. It's just the sort of motivation is different when you're taking pictures of an animal. Like you try to find out what motivates that animal. So whether it be food, a squeaky toy, a set of keys, or something to get their attention. But these animals, you know, have come from unimaginable suffering. So when they... I just always remind myself, because it can be very painful to look into the eyes of these animals all day long, and you feel their pain. And the good news is, if they've made it to the Humane Society of New York, they have made it. They're going to be safe. It is a no-kill shelter. They will work as hard as they can until they find that animal a loving forever home. If that animal has to stay there months before they find that home, he or she will stay there months. So it's portraiture, really. So yeah,
I'm so happy to hear that it is a no-kill shelter. It's not a happy outcome for a lot of animals that are, you know, segregated and oftentimes don't make it. I too am an animal lover, so I'm wondering if this might open the door for a book on cats or maybe guinea pigs.
Well, believe it or not, I've photographed just as many cats, and I've photographed birds and bunnies as well, because any living being that needs a home, I will take the photograph of. So I have a whole lot. I think there could be a future book on cats, because I've photographed a lot of cats there too.
Excellent. So before this book came to pass, Richard Phibbs, where are the photographs housed? How would we see them?
Well, they would be on my Instagram site. You know, that's or on the Humane Society of New York's Instagram site or Facebook page. And Instagram has been an incredible vehicle to spread the word of this message really globally, because I get messages from all around the world of people that are curious and interested and bringing light to the attention that really, like, all living beings are of value. And I hope we as humans evolve, and I think we are evolving to know that. I mean, even if for those people that are not vegetarian, that eat meat, we should care about how animals are slaughtered. Like, we should care about that. We should do it in a humane way. So this is a message that's far-reaching, and it's not just about, you know, bringing awareness to shelter animals, but it's really about bringing awareness that all living beings are of value.
And when you purchase this book, anybody who purchases this book, a portion of proceeds go to the Humane Society.
Actually, 100% of my proceeds go to the Humane Society of New York. So it will go into their adoption center, into their medical clinic, where they provide low-cost care to people that can't afford it. So all of my proceeds will go there. And the book is available on pre-order is available on Amazon.com, and then the launch is October 28th, and it can be bought at fine bookstores and Barnes & Nobles and bookstores everywhere.
It's a great holiday gift, I must say. So buy a lot, you know, give them out.
It is, and it's a smaller size book, so it's super friendly, and also these are my portraits. Sometimes I would get someone following me on Instagram, and they would say, "I can't follow you anymore because your pictures are making me so sad." And I wrote back to her, and I said, the purpose of these pictures is to not make people sad. It's to get these animals a home. And I assure people, if they've made it to the Humane Society of New York, they're doing well, and they're going to have a great life. So these are pictures of hope. They really are, because, like I said, these animals, many have been through unimaginable suffering. And when you see how they are transformed and they go to this, to these wonderful homes with loving families. So it's really from darkness to light that these stories are about.
Is there one particular story that stands out in your mind?
I mean, there's one in particular of a little one. They named him Little Lowell, named after one of the caregivers at the Humane Society of New York. But Lowell was found by a policeman, and he was found imprisoned in a carrier, in a plastic carrier. They don't know how long he'd been in there, but he was near death. He was covered in vomit and feces and pretty much a skeleton. And they didn't even know what kind of animal it was when they pulled him out. But they did pull him out, and happened to be at the Humane Society that following day. And Sandra, the executive director of the Humane Society, she showed me pictures, and it was, you know, one could not believe that this animal was still alive, and you couldn't believe the suffering that it has gone through. I thought it looked like the ghost of an animal, but they were able to clean him up and take care of him and slowly rehabilitated him, and he had to have an eye removed. But I remember going to the Humane Society like 3 months later, knowing that I was going to be taking that picture of Little Lowell. And I thought to myself as I rode in that cab, I am determined today to give this dog the dignity that he deserves. And I remember when I took the picture, and I remember the one, and I went back and looked at the screen, and there it was. And I think of all my career, that could be one of the most pictures I'm the most proud of, because you see the essence of Little Lowell, and you see how he has been transformed from near death to this dog of happiness and joy. So Little Lowell lives on the Upper West Side now.
Oh, I'm so happy there's a happy ending. And
no,
oh,
yeah,
that's
such
amazing.
A happy ending. And he has his own Instagram site, so I'm able to look at his life, and you see like little Lo going to on his first flight to Miami on American Airlines, looking out the window, and you see him playing at the beach, and it's so rewarding and heartwarming and moving to know that, you know, wonderful, beautiful things happen in life.
Well, thank you for the great work you're doing, Richard Phibbs, photographer.
You're so welcome. And if people want to see more pictures and follow me on Instagram, it's at Richard Phibbs, spelled P-H-I-B-B-S.
The book is Rescue Me, Buy a Lot, Give Them Away. It's all going to help benefit the Humane Society of New York. I'm Valerie Smaldone, and this is the Envision Radio Network.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. Should you worry about your teenager cracking their knuckles? I mean, like there's not enough to worry about in this world, and now all of a sudden, your kid starts to crack their knuckles? Here's the science of it. Cracking knuckles, it's very common, and it's an annoying teenage behavior, and it's also kind of a mini stress reducer for them. So should you worry about it? Probably not. Is it going to cause health problems? Probably not. So what should you do about it? Well, you can mention it and likely increase the behavior, but probably the best advice is to leave it alone, and just like thumb-sucking at an earlier age, they'll stop it on their own.
Is there anything that guy doesn't know?
What's the cheap psychological trick? If you have an adolescent in the house, worry about big things, not the little things like knuckle cracking. More info at drbuff.com.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit happylandaudio.com. That's happylandaudio.com.
Order in the court.
This is attorney Jay Coleman with The Final Verdict. As part of their practice of Judaism, the Blocks have displayed a mezuzah on the door outside their condo for the last 20 years. But recently, the Homeowners Association passed a rule prohibiting any objects outside entrances. Over the next month, the association constantly removed the mezuzah until the Blocks decided to sue their HOA for religious discrimination. Who do you think won this case? The final verdict after this.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit happylandaudio.com. That's happylandaudio.com.
The court ruled that there was no discriminatory intent against the Blocks because the law was designed to prevent discrimination against someone who is attempting to buy or rent a property, which did not apply in this case. And that's the final verdict.